It was his first official visit to the US, and the most important event since the last two superpowers had engaged. On April 20th, 2006, probably close to 100 cameras were pointing towards visiting head of the Chinese communist regime, Hu Jintao. But none of the people present at the White House lawn expected that the media's attention would suddenly change focus to a Chinese woman's impassioned appeal.
Wen Yiwang is 47 years old. She earned her medical degree from the University of Chicago, where she trained as a pathologist. Her shouts demanded of the Chinese Communist Party to stop persecuting Falun Gong. She also attempted to display a banner. 2 minutes later, security guards removed her from the scene. But her momentary shouting at President Bush and Hu Jintao became top news in the world media. Later, when a CNN reporter interviewed her, she explained her reasons for coming forward. It was because of organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners in China.
这两个月间吧, 我是接触了两个...
During the past 2 months, I contacted the two witnesses from China who exposed the harvesting of organs from living Falun Gong practitioners in the Sujiatun district in Shenyang City. By exposing these facts, they have risked their lives. Black market live organs available for transplant carry specific price tags. Living organs are sold for $60,000 to $200,000 in US dollars. If you converted this to Chinese currency, a heart would sell for 2 million yuan. No language can describe such atrocities. I had no other choice but to shout at Hu Jintao to let him hear my voice, to ask him to stop the killing and stop the organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners.
That same day in McPherson Park, only a few blocks away from the White House, there was another special outdoor assembly. It seemed the two events echoed each other from a distance. The two key witnesses who exposed the incidents of live organ harvesting show themselves openly.
They have no regard for life and death. What I know should serve as evidence.
Many people's organs were harvested before they died.
I've repeatedly said that the crimes committed in Sujiatun are merely the tip of the iceberg.
2 days later, C-SPAN TV in the U.S. featured a live interview with Falun Gong spokesman Erping Zhang.
As a reporter of the Epoch Times, to quote-unquote speak very loudly, you know, to the calling the attention to the bigger issue of atrocity of organ harvesting in China. And she wants to send a message to the world, to the press, to our government that we should not look the other way when massive organ harvesting is taking place in China. There are two witnesses came to this country talking about there are thousands of people detained in at one hospital facility, Sujiatun, in northeastern China. And there are thousands have been killed. And this occurred not only in one location.
With headlines like Sujiatun Death Camp, harvesting Falun Gong practitioners' organs for profit, the Western world is beginning to wonder what's really going on in China and how this can be happening in this day and age. More specifically, how could a world superpower who's just entered the WTO be faced with allegations of selling organs harvested from living people, denying that it ever happened, and then killing witnesses and destroying all the evidence?
The Sujiatun event was first exposed on March 9, 2006. Some overseas media affiliated with the CCP quoted the CCP's media report and said the reporter immediately interviewed those involved officials in Shenyang City and in the Sujiatun district. They denied the existence of the Sujiatun concentration camp, but such information was never released in China. We already know that the Chinese Communist Party has thoroughly cleaned up and transferred all evidence from Su Jiatun within 3 weeks. Therefore, going there now to search for evidence would be futile, because it has all been destroyed. What was the CCP's first step prior to eradicating all the evidence? Let us listen to what a news analyst said.
The first thing they did is to destroy and transfer evidence. Then they did their own investigation. Later, they openly announced the findings that they did not kill anybody.
On March 28, 2006, the speaker of the CCP's Ministry of Foreign Affairs responded to this event at a news conference. He denied the existence of the Su Jiatun concentration camp.
Only after they had destroyed all evidence and cleared away all traces of these acts did they dare to respond to the international community. By then, 3 weeks had already passed. They have done other things besides what has been mentioned above, including sternly warning all possible people who may know the inside story, and even threatening and intimidating them to make sure that they did not speak out. According to what some individuals revealed, there appeared a lot of undercover police. For example, in the Su Jiatun area, some taxi drivers or even beggars are actually police.
Several days later, the Chinese regime invited several American embassy officials and Western reporters to investigate Su Jiatun.
This was the third thing they did, further deceiving the international community. Prior to this, they had actually rehearsed to make sure there was no risk at all. Under their hands, the Western people did a superficial investigation. They used the foreign media as their pawn to deceive the international community.
What most people don't realize is that the Chinese regime believes it can get away with almost anything. That the West doesn't really care about what they do to their own people, so long as their own interests aren't affected. From a historical perspective, you can see this is the way the CCP has always been. But things are changing. We're in the 21st century, and it's not so easy to hide this sort of mass murder anymore.
On March 31st, the second report by the World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong pointed this out. When their investigators called Chinese doctors in China, they discovered there were many places in China using Falun Gong practitioners as living organ transplant suppliers. Many doctors have admitted this. Here is a recording of one of those telephone conversations. In the 1 week following, other media reporters and investigators also found similar situations. According to specialized analysts, the sudden increase of organ sources is not due to local regime or individual actions. The CCP authorities are suspected of planning to kill the detained practitioners by providing a large number of living organs for transplants. But when was the decision made to have these organs available?
In terms of timing, this decision of theirs was, in fact, already made right after the Su Jiatun incident was exposed, as it would take some time to implement a Chinese central regime policy in the local regions. After the initial exposure of the Su Jiatun crimes, it took 3 weeks before the Chinese Communist regime officially denied the accusations. These 3 weeks was the time the Chinese regime had made use of to remove the witnesses, destroy the evidence, and come up with countermeasures.
Initially, the Chinese people held out hope that the lack of response on the part of the Chinese Communist Party was due to internal conflicts. Another possibility might be that Chinese leader Hu and Premier Wen did not want to carry on the bad reputation Jiang Zemin left them with. What has since become apparent, though, is this. Once the CCP's power and existence is threatened, the CCP entity does not waver, no matter how many people they need to slaughter. So their strategy regarding this incident is to leave no evidence around to be discovered.
Actually, anyone who is familiar with the history of the Chinese Communist Party knows that it has been doing things this way for a long time. It has used this strategy very expertly and proficiently. Once it thinks its rule is threatened, its ruthlessness, decisiveness, and its unscrupulous killing are beyond what most people can imagine. What is cited below is a description of the 1957 anti-rightist movement in the Epoch Times 9 Commentaries on the Communist Party, Part 3 on the Tyranny of the Chinese Communist Party.
In 1957, the CCP used the slogan, "Letting 100 flowers blossom and 100 schools of thought contend," and called upon Chinese intellectuals and other people to help the CCP rectify itself. Mao's purpose was to lure out the anti-party elements among the people. In his letter to provincial party chiefs in 1957, Mao Zedong revealed his intention of luring the snakes out of their holes by letting them air their views freely. The CCP encouraged people to speak up and promised no reprisals. The party would not grab pigtails, strike with sticks, issue hats, or settle accounts after the autumn. Meaning, the party would not find fault, make attacks, place labels, or seek to retaliate. Yet soon, the CCP initiated an anti-rightist movement, declaring 550,000 people as rightists. 270,000 lost their jobs, and 230,000 were labeled medium rightists, or anti-CCP, anti-socialist elements.
Another example people are familiar with is the Chinese Communist Party's massacre of the students and ordinary citizens on June 4, 1989, the Tiananmen Square Massacre.
There is an old Chinese saying, we can forecast what a person will do next based on what he did before. So regarding the specific matter of removing organs from living Falun Gong practitioners, what will the CCP do next?
We believe that the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, has been taking steps to destroy all evidence in a hurry. In the past, we called many hospitals in mainland China. All the doctors said that they had many Falun Gong practitioners' organs available. They encourage patients to act quickly and come to China for organ transplants right away. When we call them now, their answers are different. This is an indication that the Chinese Communist Party has already issued many internal orders telling hospitals how to respond to questions without admitting to anything incriminating. We believe that the CCP is not only destroying evidence, but using various means to deceive the international community.
According to non-governmental information, it is possible that the CCP will soon execute a large number of prisoners on death row. In my judgment, this is also possible because doing it this way can achieve the objective of diverting people's attention and destroying evidence. In the very near future, the big hospitals in China will do a large number of organ transplant surgeries. They are hurrying up with these. Their goal is to destroy the testimonies about the Falun Gong practitioners whose organs are taken while they are still alive. The execution of a large number of prisoners also means that a large number of organs will be available. The Chinese Communist Party can thus make people believe that the organ sources are from prisoners on death row, but not from the Falun Gong practitioners. Both in China and the international community, harvesting organs from executed prisoners is already more or less an open secret. Chinese Minister Huang Jiefu acknowledged this fact to the world last year.
When this crime was first exposed in March, all organ transplant surgeries were halted in northern China for a short period of time. Why was that?
If the Chinese Communist Party had not felt guilty on the issue of organ transplant operations, what necessitated halting normal organ transplant surgeries? We can assume they experienced a guilty conscience. If the international community had continuously put their attention on the matter and kept applying pressure, we guess that after the testimonies related to the crimes exposed in April are destroyed, the Chinese Communist Party may again stop doing organ transplant surgeries. Their strategy is to give people the false impression that it is no longer willing to commit evil.
We believe that a large number of Falun Gong practitioners are being slaughtered. Every minute is very precious. Our investigators called hospitals in China. They found the doctors encouraged patients to come right away for kidney transplant surgeries before the end of May, because before then, the organ bank supply is very large. They said after May, it will be relatively difficult to get an organ. We believe that every minute now is urgent, as a large number of Falun Gong practitioners' organs are being harvested while they are alive. The objective of the allied group to investigate the persecution of Falun Gong in China is to go to mainland China to investigate all those forced labor camps, prisons, and hospitals.
On April 19th, the Chinese consulate in Sydney denied all visa applications of the first group of investigators from the Allied group.
Investigative reporters were told that they needed a letter of invitation from the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs or from Qin Gong. I feel that this does not at all meet the basic visa application requirements. Wait a minute. Isn't it correct that the Chinese Communist Party spokesman Qin Gong said on March 28th that the international media were welcome to go to China to do these investigations? So why were the visa applications of the reporters denied?
As a matter of fact, this bit of lying does not mean much to the Chinese Communist Party. Deputy Minister of the Chinese Ministry of Health, Huang Jiefu, said to the world at the end of 2005 that the organs for transplant surgeries in China came mainly from executed prisoners. Today, the Chinese Communist regime has denied what he said. Here's another example. In 2001, the Chinese Communist regime applied to host the 2008 Olympic Games. When the Olympic officials went to Beijing during the winter, the Chinese Communist Party ordered all the lawns stained green with chemical dye. When the Chinese Communist Party's survival is not challenged, it would rather sacrifice its minor interests to save the major ones, and it would rather let the international community call it a rogue or a liar and criticize it for not letting people openly investigate the matter. However, while you are criticizing it, it can, in the quickest way, destroy all the essential evidence and show no mercy. When you go there to investigate again, you will not find any evidence. As a result, if we follow the CCP's arrangements to do investigations, we will find nothing.
On the issue of harvesting Falun Gong practitioners' organs, another shocking aspect is the indifference of Chinese doctors. He's one of several voice recordings of calls into Chinese hospitals.
These doctors, however, may not have realized that they are in danger themselves when they are leisurely and happily counting their large pile of money. The Chinese communist regime's destroying them too to eliminate the evidence.
One certain Chinese doctor had performed organ harvesting surgeries on Falun Gong practitioners. Now he is a terminal lung cancer patient and is undergoing chemotherapy treatment in a Canadian hospital. He once tried to escape his fate as he was no longer willing to commit the crimes of harvesting organs from living Falun Gong practitioners. He then said that he did not want to do it anymore. He was eventually threatened. His family members, no matter how careful they were, still faced retaliation. When she tried to protect her husband, the doctor's wife sustained an assailant's knife wound on the right side of her abdomen.
He also received threats from some people then. And is quite frightened. Even today, he does not dare to speak out.
As it turns out, according to investigations so far, the people who have come forward and revealed these things are in danger for their lives. They are the eyewitnesses who live under the ruling totalitarian system of genocidal murder and have participated in that murdering, the covert killings of Falun Gong practitioners. The best way to protect these eyewitnesses is to stand up as soon as possible, to expose these horrid evil acts and expose the guilty individuals. This can best be accomplished by cooperating with the World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong Committee, specializing in the investigation of this latest outrage. Only by thoroughly exposing all the horrid acts and the individuals involved in them will these eyewitnesses not face danger. These insiders make contributions to society and by doing so are at the same time atoning for their crimes.
Since the Cultural Revolution in the 60s and 70s, where the traditional Chinese values were wiped out in a cult-like movement led by Mao, the moral foundations of China were destroyed. Today there's fake medicine, fake rice, and even baby milk powder is dangerous to drink. And now the harvesting of organs from living Falun Gong practitioners in China shows a new level of evil. Many so-called hospitals that carry out the CCP's dirty work do not have the skills or facilities to do the procedure. But here's a program that aired on China's Guangdong television station.
Recently, we met a family that came to Guangzhou with an earnest hope that they could find a good hospital and good doctor to perform a kidney transplant for one of their family members. However, they eventually received the death notification of their family member from the hospital. On May 23, 2002, Nan Win Wang went to the first hospital affiliated to Zhongshan University in Guangzhou City. He found a kidney specialist, Professor Lan Yingju, and told her that he wanted a kidney transplant.
A month later, we were notified that there was a suitable kidney for my father-in-law. We were also told that the operation would take place in Yangling Hospital. We were very surprised to hear the name Yangling Hospital because we had never heard of it before.
In Guangdong province, even small town and village hospitals are doing organ transplant operations.
Something more devastating was revealed when Wang's family tried to collect information about the surgeon, Dr. Gang Cheng.
The human resource department told us that Dr. Cheng is a plastic surgeon.
Kidney transplant operations should be performed by urinary surgical specialists or organ transplant specialists.
On April 14th, the Secret China website quoted a report by China Central Television that a patient's marrow was stolen.
As a doctor in the kidney section, I give everyone a piece of advice. If you travel to China soon, or your family members in China are traveling, please pay attention to the following several issues. First, do not expose your medical information or file, for example, your blood type and your health data. Even if you go to a hospital, you must also closely question the reasons for certain medical procedures. Why must you be so cautious? Because this information is very possibly being collected for you to unwittingly become the next organ donor.
Some people travel from Taiwan to China. Some people lost life and lost their organ, actually. And one person, because of a high school graduate, and his grandparents say, oh, I'll give you a celebration, they give you a tip, you go to China, have a trip. And he got sick. And then he was checked into hospital, had minor operation. But when he came back to Taiwan, the sick still not recovered. So something wrong. So he went to the hospital, have x-ray. The doctor said, you lost one of your kidney. So he don't know where he lost one kidney. He only know he was been had minor surgery in China one time.
There are people who say that China is becoming a darker and darker society. Whether you're rich or poor, it's hard to feel a sense of true security. For those who've committed unspeakable crimes and have so far gotten away with it, some at least have realized that they still have a conscience.
On April 13th, a woman witness using the pseudonym Anne spoke through a voice recording at an Epoch Times press conference at the International Reporters Club.
My husband had always written a diary. There's the following entry. After this patient was asphyxiated, he used the scissors to cut the clothes. A package fell from her pocket. When he opened it, he saw it was a small box containing a Dafa amulet. The box also contained a piece of paper on which was written, wishing my mother happy birthday. My husband has many nightmares over this.
Because of what? Because at that flash, his conscience explicitly tells him that this person does not have a mental illness or is a social criminal. As the Chinese government said, not at all. She is an ordinary person. She has her child, like him, she has her own family members. She has her own laughter, anger, sorrow, and happiness, which is not different from his own emotions. At this time, his innermost feelings are completely unable to withstand all this.
This chief surgeon is a Chinese Communist Party martyr's orphan. He expressed his confession to his wife, and he burned on his arms 5 marks in memory of his sorrow of what he did to practitioners.
And now Falun Gong practitioners have assembled a team to investigate all jails, forced labor camps, hospitals, and brainwashing classes that detain their fellow practitioners. They hope this investigation will truly expose the horrific allegations and at the same time awaken the sense of justice within the Chinese people, dispelling the widespread fear that has been instilled by the Chinese Communist Party.
In the afternoon of April 21st, Ms. Wang Wenyi, who made a scene at the White House, was released after she posted a personal guarantee with the Washington, D.C. area court. Her defense attorney wants to get all charges against her dismissed. All the media waiting for her outside were from Western mainstream media outlets. The Washington Post commented that Wang Wenyi is a noble being.
The organ harvested from living human being is a crime against humanity. It's unspeakable crime against humanity. And it's an act of a genocide.
As a doctor, I just want to save people's lives. There are so many Falun Gong practitioners in China. I thought their lives are in great danger. They will be pulled to the surgery table at any moment, and their organs will be taken while they are alive. It is true that I cannot sit still. For everyone sitting here, if your family members, just imagine your family members, your relatives and friends are faced with such a moment, would you also be unable to sit still? You must seek all opportunities to let the international community petition this Chinese leader to hear us in this call to stop these atrocities.
It's probably one of the most kind, compassionate groups that I have ever dealt with.
At the same time, 54 Taiwan Legislative Committee members have signed a joint proposal urging international human rights organizations and the World Health Organization to investigate the Chinese Communist Party's forced labor camps, jails, and the medical institutions' crimes, which participate in harvesting living Falun Gong practitioners' organs. 81 United States representatives wrote a letter to President Bush requesting him to appeal to carry out a comprehensive, independent investigation of this matter. The Premier of Canada addressed his attention to the problem of harvesting Falun Gong practitioners' organs. Hong Kong political circles, people in England and the United States, and concerned organizations also condemned the Chinese government in this matter.
And that's all for today's edition of Zooming In. I'm Qian Wong. Thanks for joining us.